Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 32 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sparks, one of your hosts today, and I am joined by Mashi Scanlon. As always, Mashi, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I mean, it's a wild time. I don't want to derail this whole podcast. I'm sure there's tons we could say. It's a crazy time in the world with COVID, in the country with protesting. I do want to shout out you and Luis had an amazing stream.
Thank you. That was really good. We were very happy with it. Basically, for those who don't know, we were doing a charity stream. We were trying to initially raise for the Minnesota Freedom Fund, but they were doing so well. So many people donated to them that they were saying, don't donate to us anymore.
Yeah.
They recommended. Yeah, they recommended to donate to bail funds. So we donated to we did a charity drive for the bail project. And our initial goal, or what we offered to do, is both myself, Luis, and CFB, we're all going to pledge, match people's donations up to $1,000 for each person. So basically, up to the first 1,000, every person had a 3x multiplier on their
donation. Awesome.
Which was awesome. Like, part of the thing is to, like, get people donating, right? So that's what we wanted to do. And in the first, like, basically, like, 10 minutes of the stream, I was still troubleshooting it because the campaign wasn't connected, so the alerts weren't showing up, and we, like, got to 2K immediately.
Yeah, I heard. I was like, before they even started, they
were there. Yeah, we hadn't even started yet. So it was a really good stream. We ended up raising, I want to say $17,000, so it was pretty good.
Was it 17 or 18? It's like 15 plus 3 or 15
it
plus
was like 17,500, something like that. So okay. I don't remember exactly the final amount. It was truly awesome.
Okay, before we even dive into the magic stuff, we should talk about our sponsor, channelfireball.com. Right now, we are running a Bios Bonanza. It's our second Bios Bonanza. And I went into all the trials and tribulations about how Channel Fireball president and CEO John Sasso had us up it was a Bios bonus, now it's a Bios Bonanza.
Yeah.
So for every $10 you give, so if you sell us $100 cash prize, you get 10 entries into the Bios Bonanza. We do a weekly giveaway. Every week, Channel Fireball is giving away a Secret Lair Ultimate Edition, and that's the one with the fetches, a booster box of Ikoria, a booster box of Masters 25, a booster box of Iconic Masters, and $100 in CFB store credit. So that's every week. You give during the week. You give. I'm talking about donations. You submit buy lists during the week. You sell us cards. We buy them from you. And for every $10 in cash, the cash amount you submit, you get a ticket into the drawing. And then, you know, that's the weekly giveaway. The monthly giveaway is, of course, a Black Lotus. Can't have a buy
that one. That one's like the headliner for sure.
Right. That's definitely it's a Black Lotus, a playset of Shocks, which I still think is pretty sweet. And then the other two grand prizes are a case of Core 2021, so 6 boxes of Core 2021, or a case of Ikoria, which is 6 boxes of Ikoria. You can check out all the information on this at channelfireball.com/allstrategy/giveaway. And the buy list is available, and I believe that's channelfireball.com/buy list.
I think it's buy list, yeah.
So you can check all that out, submit stuff now, and enter right away. So check out the Buy List Bonanza on channelfireball.com. You can't do it for Buy List, but for everything else, anything you want to purchase, whether it's CFB Pro, whether you're buying cards or any of those other things, use the code Gabby, G-A-B-Y. That helps support this podcast and all of Gabby's great content. So be sure to use that Gabby code every time you're transacting business on channelfireball.com.
I also wanted to do a super quick shout out before we move out of the shout out for CFB. On June 27th, there is another CFB Pro Showdown. Yeah, it's the same one that we talked about, the one where Luis was the end boss. And this one has Reed as the end boss. So just putting it on your radar. If you're already subscribed to CFB Pro, this is basically a free roll. You just get to enter a free tournament and you have the chance of playing Reed, one of the best players ever, Hall of Famer and team member of CFB. And
you know what happens if you beat Reed?
I think it's been changing a lot. I think it doubles the prizes for everyone in the top 8. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So originally, now everybody in the top 8 is like rooting for...
Yes. Well, because a lot of people were rooting for Luis last time. It was like, how do we get people behind the opponent? Because, I mean, it's hard to root against Reed. And so we're like, okay, what do we do? What if we just double the prizes for the whole top?
Yeah, if you double the prizes, that's definitely a way to increase the stakes. No, I love it. I think it's a good idea. So that's going down on June 27th, and you can just sign up. You can just, I think it's cfp.com/showdown.
I'll check it out right now.
Yeah, I don't remember it offhand, but if you go on Channel Fireball, you'll find it. It's definitely listed on there, and then you can just make sure you sign up. And if you already have CFP Pro, you can also learn about the standard format. There's going to be cool new stuff coming up because there were bans this week. So we've got lots to talk about. One sec. Say that again, Mosh.
You mentioned the bans, but and the bans are pretty impactful, but it's also just the changes, right? The changes.
There's a lot of stuff. Like, this is going to shake up the standard format a lot. So let me, for anybody who maybe didn't hear, this is what happened. On June 1st, 2020, a new companion rule was announced.
Mm-hmm.
It reads the following. Once per game, anytime you would cast a sorcery during your main phase when the stack is empty, you can pay 3 generic mana to put your companion from your sideboard into your hand. This is a special action, not an activated ability. And then let me just read the entire announcement and then we'll talk about it.
Go for it.
Standard says Agent of Treachery is banned and Fires of Invention is banned. In Historic, Agent of Treachery is suspended. Fires of Invention is suspended. Tabletop effective date is June 1st. MTG Arena BNR changes June 4th, so 3 days later. Magic Online BNR effective on June 1st. Magic Online Companion Rules effective on June 3rd. So that was the ban announcement. There were like explanations too, as there always are. I'll add them in the show notes if you want to read what they said. But this is basically the meat of it. So Mosh, what did you think of these bans?
I thought I thought that Fires was definitely out. I actually didn't come into last week's episode of Magic FM thinking that Agent was going to get banned. But I have to say the discussion we had convinced me that Agent had to go. I was waffling on Luka. I think that maybe Luka does need to go, but I never thought they would ban Luka yet. They may ban Luka later, but he's going to have to prove himself to be a problem again. Fires had to go. I guess Agent had to go too. So I think those two bans are really, really good. My biggest concern now, and this is something that Martin and I talked about on the Monday meta, is we're just kind of taking the time warp back a few months, you know. And so we're removing a lot of the Ikoria contributions to the current standard by nerfing Companion and the banning. So should Wizards have done more to address that prior format? Like, should Teferi be banned? Should Reclamation be banned? I definitely think Teferi should be banned. I think it's such an unfun card. I just want them to get rid of it. But I could see Nissa, now thinking about what I think the metagame could look like as a result of these bannings, thinking, should they have gotten rid of Nissa and Teferi and Reclamation as well? More Nissa and Teferi than Reclamation, but that's where I'm at with it. But very happy to see both Fires and Agent of Treachery go. How about you?
So, luckily I've had some time to let it digest because I had like my initial impression and then like continue to think about it some more and see what people thought. So I am happy with the bans. Like, I am happy that these bans happened. I really kind of wanted to see more blood. I'm dead serious. That's like where I've landed after seeing all of this is I just feel like some of the stuff was just weird. Like, Agent of Treachery banned, great. Fires of Invention banned, also great. The Historic ban is really weird to me because it feels a lot like, well, we banned these in Standard, so let's ban them in Historic. But from every person I've talked to that plays Historic, and like I said, I will put an asterisk there and say I have not played Historic in a while. So I really don't know what the metagame is like. But every person that I've talked to that plays Historic is like, Winota is horrendous. If you haven't played against the Neoform Winota deck, it's like one of the most unfun things to play against. The Agent and Fires ban feels like a joke compared to that. And there's like all these other cards that people are so sick and tired of in Historic. So it's weird to me that Agent and Fires, maybe like Fires if you just don't want to deal with that nonsense. Like, if you just want to be like, I don't really want a card like Fires of Invention in the format, good, you can get rid of it. But banning like the same in Standard and Historic, I think to some people, and now the more I think about it, feels the same way to me too. Like, it was like 5 minutes and you needed to like turn something in. Like, you needed to turn your homework in and you're like, I guess we'll just do the same ones. Yeah, that flies.
Historic's just copying Standard's answers, right?
Like, yeah, no, it really feels like that. And I'm not trying to be insulting. Like, I'm really not saying that they didn't test it or think about it. They clearly like put thought and effort into it, but the fact that these other cards that are seem to be such a bigger problem are still running around, whereas like Agent and Treachery and Fires of Invention got thrown under the bus because they weren't getting thrown under the bus for Standard. That part mm-hmm. is weird to me.
Well, and I think one thing to clarify too is that Agent of Treachery is not part of the historic Winota deck. So it doesn't impact Winota in historic at all. And that was, I think, because the one thing I have heard resoundingly is that Winota is the biggest problem.
It's in such historic. It is both really broken and very consistent and really unfun to play against. So it's like
It's the trifecta.
It just gets every note. Mm-hmm, and so seeing this, it kind of made me disappointed that, because I feel like there's a cost to banning things, and I think once you're already banning one thing, you might as well just ban more things.
Like that's how Reflector Mage happens. I feel like we think this might be a problem too. Let's just throw them in there.
Yeah, but no, right. Seriously. That's what happened with Reflector Mage, right? It was like, we're banning all these other things, and we're already paying the cost of having to do bans, so might as well like sneak it in.
Yeah,
I mean, like. This is a principle with spending that happens all the time. Like the difference between getting somebody to pay $1 versus like $3 for something. Like there's been all these studies that have been done for like pricing for the Apple Store, for example, because in the Apple Store, there's basically two choices. It's either paid or free, right? So in the free model, you have people that do like little microtransactions and stuff like that. But pretend it's free, right? Let's just pretend you get an app and it's free. Basically, there's like a really big mental block for people to spend money. Once you already have to do the first dollar, you may as well have asked for $2 because the real cost wasn't getting them to pay in the first place.
Right. Not that's what the difference was.
Exactly. So I know this is different. I know this isn't spending money, but it feels a little bit like that to me. Like once you're already going to go ahead and ban a bunch of stuff, why not also just ban Winota if everyone's complaining about it and it is actually really bad for the format?
I mean, I'll play devil's advocate here. The only thing that you can kind of imagine from the Wizards' perspective is, well, we think that Fires and Agent is holding X back and X will come to the metagame and be better than Winota. I don't think that's what's actually happening here. And I wonder if part of it is just a game of, because do they have to give the wild card? Well, they have to give you back the wild card as soon as it's banned, wild card as soon as it's banned in Standard, right?
So the way it works is if it gets banned in Standard, you get the cards back. And if it gets suspended, you don't. But if it goes from suspended to permanently banned, you do.
Mm-hmm. And so so suspending Agent and Fires, it probably was exactly what you said. It's a free space. Right? It's a free space. They might as well see what happens.
Yeah.
But adding Winota wasn't quite free because they'd have to give back a bunch of... Because if it gets banned in Historic...
I mean, they could have suspended Winota from Historic.
They could have done that. They could have done that.
And maybe like not put her in Standard, but they could have suspended her in Historic, and I don't see what's wrong with that. Like, they will have to give people wild cards eventually if they do ban it.
Right, and once she gets banned, everyone gets a wild card. Like I think I drafted a Winota, so I would get one too, right?
Yeah, you get as many wild cards as you had of that card. So if you had four Agent of Treachery and it got banned, you get the same rarity of Agent of Treachery back in wild cards.
So you're saying I should free roll some Winotas right now?
Honestly, I always, whenever there's a ban announcement, Mashi, I always buy the card that I think is going to get banned because it's really stupid, but it. One of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to have it in my collection, which is fine. Like, I play a lot of decks on Magic Arena. Like, it's fine to have four of a card.
Sure.
Or I'm going to free roll the card. So
gamer's going to game.
I always do that. It's so stupid. Somebody's like, well, aren't you just spending wild cards on nothing? I'm like, no, technically you grow your collection. So it's like such a marginal thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
It's really dumb.
What more blood did you want to see in the water?
Basically, I thought the historic bans were kind of just like not quite there. The other concern I have is, it's funny, neither you nor I, nor Luis for that matter, thought that the actual way that the companion rule was changed was going to end up being that way. We floated it as an idea. We didn't think that was actually going to be the solution, but that is where they ended up. I am concerned that the way the new companion rule works favors, like, I think it punishes the cheap companions quite a bit. And I think And I think that expensive companions, the ones where it doesn't really matter if you have to spend 3 mana to get them back, I think those are going to be a problem. And like the one I'm looking at is my boy Yorion. I think that guy is going to be, I mean, actually, I don't know. I can't even gender Yorion. It's just a dragon. But yeah. But Yorion is going to be tough, I think, still.
Like, she's,
I
think she costs 8 mana.
Yeah.
They just raised her CMC to 8. That's what I feel like just happened.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's rough because I also feel bad for all the companions that like did nothing wrong. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know, the poor Umoris of the world who are just like, hey, everyone, I'm here to
yeah, and make totally things ruined,
cheaper.
Right? But it's Umori, just like, I'm here to accelerate your deck. Just pay 3 to add me to your
yeah,
hand.
Yeah, like, you gotta pay the tax, then I'll accelerate your deck. So yeah. I'm not sure if like this, I'm not sure if how if this is gonna is the right balance. Like, I don't know if this is enough of a hoser, given the expensive companions are already like put in decks that don't care about spending 3 mana for it. You know?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it punishes all, you know, it punishes all the companions equally in theory, but clearly not in practice. Yeah. Right? Clearly, like Obosh is just. Sorry, Obosh. We're done with you.
You're yeah, gone. And Obosh was a cool companion that a red deck could play in standard. Like, it's totally fine. Obosh did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Right.
But if the biggest problem out of this whole thing was usually Yorion, and I get that Fires of Invention is not going to be around anymore, but those Yorion decks are still going to be around, and they're going to be very powerful. And it's like, wait, and now the companion rule doesn't really quite punish that one. So, huh.
Which and now we can go back to old school Bant with Yorion, you know, run a bunch of Uros and Lapras and stuff like that.
The fairy's still in the format. Like all these cards are really good. I mean, Yorion just combos with so many things in standard. It doesn't even really matter if you pay 3 or you don't have fires for it. I feel like it's still just going to be very good. So
yeah,
that was kind of where I landed with a bans after like thinking about it. Some overall, I am pretty happy like that everything that got banned did get banned. I really wish we would have seen a Luka ban. I really, really do wish that too.
We might. It ain't over yet.
It's true.
Like if Oko taught us anything, you know, if you become a big enough problem, they will come back and ban hammer you. You know what else is weird? Because I was looking into this because Luis had this. Luis was the last week's Magic FM. We discussed what we thought was going to come to this announcement, and he mentioned this tax thing. Which is where they ended up going with it. But he said, like, yeah, a lot of people are talking about it. And I went back and looked, and there was a lot of chatter about this tax idea. And maybe it was just me. It didn't feel intuitive, but I was just like, it's weird that people got this close to it.
It's because I believe it was leak. Like, there was a rumor that was what they were going to do, and it was the leak. But a bunch of people were like, no, that just makes sense. So, like, eventually it became a kind of just theory, like a bunch of people thought it was just like, oh, maybe it's a leak, or maybe it's like a reasonable way to patch companions. So it started just getting really widespread because supposedly someone heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from another person that this is what they were doing. Exactly. It was very like steeple your fingers like this.
This sounds like a conspiracy theory, Gabby. Oh. I don't know. I thought that was interesting though, because I was like, wow, I never would have gone there. I really thought it was going to be draw 7, put one back. I also thought it was going to be
a mulligan for sure.
Yeah, so I'm shocked. I really am that they did this. It just hurts because like I think the thing about the London mulligan, if you draw 7 and put one back, it's the opposite. Where I think that you know you can still play with Lurrus, you can still play with Obosh. Like those, the more aggressive companions in that scenario benefit. Whereas Yorion, I don't know. You have enough time. I don't know. It's tough. I don't like this fix as much. I like the mulligan fix better still, but this is what we got and let's see what it does. I am very excited to see what standard is. I hope it's not just a return to, you know, a bunch of clover and bands and, you know, Stimmick stuff. So
yeah, we'll see. I agree with what you're saying, by the way. I wish it would have been a you open 7 and put one back so that you only have 7. Cause I think that's more punitive than the current companion rule of paying the 3 tax, which I do think is good. But once again, I have that concern of there's companions who just like do not care about this at all. And I feel like those are some of the ones that were more problematic. So it feels like we're hosing the companions that weren't doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Versus
they were actually balanced.
Yeah, the ones that were like doing, because I think the other, like the mulligan to draw seven and put one back. Yeah. I feel that keeps a more even playing field among all of them, because it's the same thing. Like if you really care to have the card in your hand, you can pay the cost. It just doesn't mean you have to put a card back.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I said, this is where we ended up, and that's fine. Like the most important thing about these bands is that Luis owes us dinner.
Yes. So I've had so many people ask me about it on stream. They're like, so how did it finish? We basically, for those who don't know, last week when we were predicting what bands were going to be and what the companion change was going to look like, we all put our bet of what we thought it was going to be. And we were all slightly different from each other. But in the end, you and I got basically tied. And Luis lost because he thought that Luca was going to get banned and not Agent. I think that's what he predicted.
Yeah.
And we had Raptor as our arbiter. And he declared that we both get dinner on him. So
yes.
I know we did it. Feels good.
It's the best part. Look, a free meal is always a good thing. Like I enjoy a free meal, but a free meal with Luis paying for it.
Yeah. Feels. Also, we did say this, by the way, we said it was drinks and dessert. Like we're going all in, baby.
Oh no. I remember we were probably getting in. I felt good about where we were at. Cause I think, I don't know if you threw dessert in. I was like, and I want wine too.
Well,
like,
I think you guys were thinking about making the bet and you weren't making it happen. So I was like, what if you just bet something small, like dessert? And then you were about we do that, but we also throw dinner in there and drinks. And then we're all like, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so good. I can't wait. I can't wait.
I know. I'm psyched. It's going to be a long time since we're all the three of us in the same place. But when it happens...
And you know, Luis is just banking us forgetting, so we cannot.
Absolutely. You think I would forget? No, never.
I don't think you would. Mm-mm. I might. See, I might.
Nah,
I
really never. Not on my watch.
Good. So in general, I mean, they did something. They had to make moves. They had to ban something. I think companions were a problem that they had to change. So I'm happy they did all those things. And I'm excited for what's the update's going to happen tonight or tomorrow. And I'm super excited.
It was weird because they already made the update happen, but like the changes weren't live. Like some of the ban list was live, but the changes weren't. So for a while we were playing, like Luis was just playing vintage with like Lutri in it just for kicks, because we just had like a couple more days to free roll it, kind of. So it does actually go live today. It went live with a Magic Online update, and tomorrow it'll go live on Magic Arena.
Okay, so when do they run their updates? Do they run them at a set time?
Magic Online always runs it on Wednesday, and Magic Arena runs it whenever. So
that's okay. I'm so used to Arena because I feel like Arena, it's like I go to boot it up and I'm like, update.
They have basically, like with Arena, they can just do updates and then they force you to have to restart it, and like that's fine. With Magic Online, they actually have to take all the servers down, which is why we have the scheduled downtime that happens every Wednesday. Yeah, and then they bring it down, make the changes, bring it back up again.
So overall, what grade would you give this?
It was like a B+, maybe. Like it was a good band. I was happy with the band, but it wasn't like, I'm not excited about it. I was just like, I wanted a little bit more action. And I just don't want, the thing I really don't want is to go back and then say, what do you know? The companion nerf wasn't good enough. And, you know, Winota still is terrible and historic. And then you look back and you're like, well, yeah, that was like easily solvable if we just, you know, axed everything right now.
Yeah, you want to fix it. You want to fix it in one go.
Yeah,
measure twice, cut once, right? Like you don't want to dribble it.
I don't want the experience of banning Field of the Dead and then having Oko become the new problem when it was like so clear that that's what was going to happen.
Well, it's the worst thing. We don't want a situation where we all think the coast is clear and we're in for it, right? Like that is the last thing we need. So, I think a B+ is right. Is right about.
Do you give it? Like around a B+, maybe.
It's exactly where I was. I was like, is it a B? Is it a B+? I don't know, but it's in that range.
Yeah.
So
overall, like pretty okay, but could be better. I don't know. We'll get to come back and see if like the things that we're worried about do end up becoming a thing. Maybe Yorin is fine. It does. I mean, I feel like it's not going to be, but we get to find out.
I mean, without fires, she's going to have to rebuild, but she's already, you know, you can, there's already bands out there. There's already Azorius out there. So there's a lot of places she can just slide right in and be fine. So I think it's going to be just fine for her. So, all right, Gabby, recently on his Tumblr, Mero did his Core 2021 teaser. And where he leaves a bunch of clues, right? A bunch of random facts about cards in the upcoming set. And then we get to try to piece together what is what. And we got...
We've done one of these before. It was like the first one that we did it for Aquaria. And it was actually cool because there was a tough one, a really tough one to predict. And it was that there were going to be 13 different types of counters. And we actually floated the idea of like, what if basic keywords were the counters? And then we're like, nah, that's too weird.
That's too
and
crazy.
It was. Yeah. It was actually right. So this is sweet because we kind of get to look at a little bit of a teaser for cards that we know are going to be in the set. And we get to speculate about what we think they're going to be. And then when the set comes out, we'll find out how close we got. And these are awesome. I actually love that he does these. They're super fun to read and like fun to talk about and speculate.
They're a great way to start previews. They're so good. And then you start connecting the dots as cards come out and you can kind of reframe what your guesses are. And go, oh my gosh, this is the card that he was talking about. So yeah, I agree. It's a wonderful way to start teasing the set. All right. The first clue here, a brand new planeswalker from a plane we've visited.
This one's really hard because it really could be. I mean, it could be like tied to the story, but I don't. There's like nothing that to me indicates like what this could be. Like it just. I don't know. It could be from Innistrad, and you're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Or you could be like, oh, this person's from. I don't know.
I'm
Tarkir. You're like, okay, yeah, sure.
I'm gonna take a shot and say Kamigawa. That's just because it's a lot of flavor.
So random.
It's just a lot of flavor in Kamigawa.
This is a guess we can't actually make. We can guess it's a plane we're gonna visit soon, and that's why they're giving us a new character from a plane we've already visited. So
Zendikar?
Zendikar could make sense, yeah, because I believe Zendikar Rising is gonna be
October?
It's the next set, right?
It's the next set after the core set. It's the next set.
Actually, I am in for Zendikar guess. Yeah.
It could also be, but this is also, actually, yeah, okay. Kamigawa is too random, right? Because this set is all about Teferi, so it could be Dominaria. Isn't M21 a Teferi-based set?
Yeah, it is.
So, and he's Dominarian.
He is from Dominaria. Nah, I'm going to go with Zendikar. I still think it's Zendikar. I think it makes sense to kind of like preview where we're going to go, given that we already know we're going to go there. And like, it might give the story a reason for people to like, because we don't know what the excuse is to go back to Zendikar, but maybe this new planeswalker joining could be a reason to go back.
Oh, hey guys, follow me back to Zendikar. Yeah, like I'm going to say Dominaria.
Okay.
Just to split us. I think I'm really 50-50, but just to split us, I'm going to say Dominaria.
Yeah, I too am 50-50. All right, I like it. We'll go with Dominaria.
This is good. I like your thinking here, though. That was great. Like, oh yeah, where are we going? Zendikar. Awesome. All right, next up, a card that lets you draw half of your library.
Half of your library?
Yeah. I feel like, you know what I feel like? I feel like this could be the same as the last card, because this feels like an ultimate from a planeswalker or something like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it reads a card that lets you, which means that it doesn't necessarily mean that the card itself says draw half of your library. It could be an ultimate or something that says when you ultimate this place, draw half of your library. If your library has this many cards in it, you win or something. Like I could see an alt win con or something like that with this.
Or if you have, you know, 10 cards in your hand, win the game. I guess that's too easy. 20 cards in your hand to win the game or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there might not even be an alt win con with it. It might just be that
draw
half your library and then you just get to choose what you keep. I don't know, but it seems like it might be like it has to be clearly like a very powerful thing. It's either like a mythic or like a planeswalker ultimate or something like that.
Let's see. A +1/+1 tribal lord for a creature type that's never had one. A creature type with over 50 cards already in print.
All right. I feel very confident I know what this one is.
I have a guess and I don't know if there's a lord printed. Demon. I don't know if there's a demon lord. That was my Like, because I think there is a wizard lord, which is where I
there is a wizard lord. Narumeha is a wizard lord.
Okay. So, I don't know. Demons is the first thing that came into my mind, because I know there's angel lord. An angel lord.
Well,
is there a demon?
No, she's technically a lord, but not an angel lord. But Archangel Avacyn is an angel lord.
+1/+1. Okay. So what was you felt good about yours. What was it?
Okay. So it's like we're going kind of deep, but mm-hmm. So I think something might happen in this upcoming set. I think there's a chance that hounds get eroded to dogs. And I think the tribal lord might be dogs. All right.
Masha's
like, holy, holy moly, Gabby, you lost it. Okay, so there is I have a reason to believe this. Wizards posted a post on Twitter, and it was just a picture of a dog in a meadow. Like, that was it. All right. And then the caption was, I don't remember it verbatim, but it was like, nice day to take, and it says like hound, and it shows crossed out, and it says nice day to take dog out to the meadow or something like that. It's really random. But like, why are they talking about, why would they cross out hound and say dog?
No, I'm with you there.
If it doesn't mean that maybe they're going to get eroded and turn into dogs.
So and so part and parcel with that errata. Okay, you know what? I'm on board for that. I could see
it's
a dog
like board. Really far out there. I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid clearly, but it feels like it could happen because I do not believe there's a hound lord, and they're talking about like crossing hound. Why would they cross hound and turn it into dog? Let me see if I can find the actual text of it.
I mean, it's definitely no. I mean, I buy that part of it. I like you've convinced me that the hound creature type is going to change into dog, and I guess. That does make sense, like creating the Lord. That does make sense.
Yeah, I can't find it like right now. If I find it later, I'll just include it in the show notes. It was just so strange. Like, it was also unprompted. They just tweeted it out for no reason. It was like, nice day to take dogs to the meadow.
Yeah, that is pretty.
And there were some people who were like, huh, what is this? Like, people felt like it might have been a hint or something because it was just so. Like, you have to go through effort to cross something out on Twitter. Like, you have to use a specific kind of font and, like formatting for that to be the case. Because you can't, you know what I'm saying? So, like, somebody actually went through a lot of trouble to do that.
No, I'm with you. You know what? I'm on board. I'm on board for the dogs. The dog lord. Frankly, I'd love to see a dog lord. I think that would be great. So, all right. Dog lord it is. The new dog lord. Okay, a character with a Vanguard card and a legendary creature card gets a second of the latter. So a second legendary creature card.
A second legendary creature card? Hold on. Okay, before we go to that one, I just did a gatherer search real quick. There's only 25 hounds, so that doesn't quite add up.
Well, wait, what if there's another card type that becomes a dog? Like, is Phantom Whelp a hound?
Is what are other dogs in Magic? I think they're almost always hounds, right?
Yeah, Isamaru hound, of course. Jackal pup. It's not. I think we did top 8 dogs actually.
Really?
So I mean, everything
is hounds. Like, I'm just looking at it right now, and everything is hounds. I mean, I guess. Let me look for dog. No, they're cards like Dog Pile, Greater Moss Dog, but that's a plant hound.
Moss Dog.
Guard Dogs, but that's also creature type hound. All right, so maybe my theory is like not that accurate.
I still like the theory.
I like it too, I'm trying to figure out where do the other 25 dogs come from.
Well, it says 50 are already in print. And the dogs aren't, I guess they are in print, but they're kind of not in print. I don't know. Because they can't be 25 this set.
Is Mastiff a different creature type? Hold on. Mastiff. No, they're creature type pound. Okay, maybe. We'll see. I like my theory of dogs because it was
like
really
you connected
deep.
The dots. I like you connected the dots. Yeah. I was with you there, so.
Yeah. All right, maybe it's not that, but we'll see.
Okay, Vanguard card and a legendary creature card gets a second of the latter. When I think Vanguard, I think like OG Weatherlight crew, like the whole kind of Wrath cycle of stuff. I don't even know how many Vanguard cards
are out there. Honestly like don't have a good idea for this one.
A lot. Well, I'm trying to think about, I don't know what, like Urza, I think has a Vanguard card and one legendary card. Is there only one Captain Sisse? Yeah, I think there's only one Captain Sisse.
Are you sure? Wasn't she in Dominaria again?
Was she?
Yeah, I think so.
Are there two? So Hannah Ship's Navigator, I think there's only one of.
It would make sense. It actually would make sense. Would make sense that it's a legend from Dominaria, since it's a Teferi set. That would make some sense.
Yeah. Oh wait. So he went to the Tolarian Academy. Rain Academy Chancellor Baron. I don't know if there's a Rain or Baron Vanguard card, but they were teachers, and they are legendary creatures from Urza's block. I have no idea. I know like Airtai has
multiple. For this one, I really was just like, I have no clue.
I'm just okay. So I would say something that's related to either the Weatherlight Gerard. I think there's only one Gerard Capation legendary card, but I think he's dead.
Wasn't there? Oh, that's right. It's Wrath Caption that I'm thinking of.
If there isn't, I think it's on. I'm now in love with the idea that it's like Baron or Rain. So, but I think it's something in that wheelhouse.
I could see it being a legend from Dominaria. It also makes sense because Dominaria will have a lot of legendary creatures, so it would make sense that a new one that didn't get a reprint in Dominaria for whatever reason would get one here.
Could be Urza too, because Urza was one of his teachers. Like, I think that the reason I like Baron, Rain, and Urza is that I believe they were all teachers to Teferi when he was at the Tolarian Academy. So that's what we're going deep into the, like.
We really are. We're just scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
I was playing a lot of Magic in these days. So, okay. A card with 31 different options. First of all, that sounds like a nightmare.
I know it does, but I actually think it's simpler than that.
Obviously, it definitely is.
So, it's exactly like the there's 13 counters thing, which feels kind of like a trick question. You're like, huh, why so many counters? And then you realize it's just like all the keyword mechanics that you already know. Mm-hmm. So this is the theory that I saw for this one that I thought was like just definitely spot on. 31 different options has to be choose one or more effect with 5 possible actions. So you can do that or colors. So something like Casualties of War that says choose one or more for 5 is 31 options. Or if you do choose a color or any combination of colors, also takes you to 31.
That's perfect.
It has to be that.
Yeah,
I feel very confident about that because I mean, I don't know what other 31 options can you give in a card? It's too complicated, right?
It's too much spacing, too much stuff, right? Even if it was like comes into play with a count one of the following counters, and it's like every keyword everywhere, it's like you just don't have enough space on the card, right? It has to be one or more of options like that, like colors or something like that.
So I think what probably this is a card like Casualties of the War, probably like a 6-drop or a 7-drop, something like that, with 5 really powerful abilities, and you just get to choose one or more.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's my guess for that one.
I'm with you. A card that gains all activated abilities of a certain subset of cards in a place it's never done it before. I don't even like understand
this. Yeah, I was looking to see what people like thought this one might be, and no, Mosh, like people are losing it. People have no idea what this is. There's just like a lot of speculation, but truly, like this is a confusing one.
Yeah,
it might be something we've never seen before, and that's part of the reason we're having a hard time looking at it and saying like, "Huh, no, that doesn't make sense." Like,
how about this? A card that uses a non-evergreen named ability over 20 years old.
Non-evergreen named. Oh, you know what I saw some people say about this one? What was it? Some people thought that it could be world, you know, like how there used to be world enchantments. But then they said that previously Morrow has said like, no, we're not doing more world enchantments. So like, that's not a thing that's coming back.
I don't get it. Is this supposed to be like something like banding or something like that?
It basically, it has to just be one of the not the ones that we see happen in core sets all the time. So it is okay. A mechanic that's existed, like it's a named ability that's existed before, but it's just like very old. It's making a comeback. And we haven't, in theory, haven't seen it in like 20 years. Yeah. So
we saw phasing in Future Sight, right? Did Future Sight have phasing?
No way. It's phasing though. They would not bring back. Phasing is so confusing.
It's true. Flanking? Was flanking in Future Sight? Or was flanking in Time Spiral Block at all?
I don't know. I also doubt it's flanking.
Flanking is a good ability. What's wrong with flanking?
I don't see it making a comeback.
I think like.
You think it's flanking?
One of the clues we get, because he's saying it hasn't been around in 20 years, is what's in Time Spiral Block, and I'm like.
There is. I mean, not to like jump ahead on the hints, but there is literally one that's called a card from Time Spiral Time Shifted Sheet. So like something is making a comeback for that.
Yeah, we're finally making that. But I don't remember anything with. I wasn't playing a ton of Magic when Time Spiral was out. I drafted it a lot, and I can't remember if there's anything with flanking. I think flanking is a good ability, so I think it could be something like flanking. I'm trying to think about what other abilities were around back then. Oh my god, there was Rampage. That was a horrible ability.
I do not know what that ability does. What does it do?
Yeah, it's like if you have like Rampage. I don't even remember. This was in Legends. Okay, I think it was like if you have like Rampage 2, for each additional creature that blocks it, your creature gets either +2/+2 or +2/+0. I think it was +2/+2. So like Craw Giant, I believe, had Rampage. Like one of the things my buddies would do is that you put a lure on the Craw Giant because I trample too.
And oh,
like
it God. Blocks
everything. It gets huge, you know, that kind of thing.
That's some kitchen table magic. I love it.
Yeah, that ability is not good. They should not bring it back. Flanking? I'm going to go with flanking. I'm just going to go with flanking. I don't know. I can't. Nothing else is popping into my brain right now. Buyback?
No, buyback has happened way more recently, I think.
Okay.
Hold on. I think all the buybacks I've played against have been in the Master set, so maybe? I don't think so. That would be such a tricky answer if it was buyback. Because like they've done stuff, like they did Tempest Remastered, they did that on Magic Online, there was that, but like there's...
Tempest Remastered doesn't count. I think the Master sets...
That's what I'm saying. Count. Like they have done it, but it's been in stuff like Master sets and Tempest Remastered and stuff like that. So maybe it could be buyback. I don't know. I really don't know when's the last real time that it's been around.
Uh-oh. Flanking was in Time Spiral. Flanking definitely was in Time Spiral.
You think
Spiral.
It's flanking?
No, but it was in Time Spiral. So I don't think that's less than 2 years ago or less than 20 years ago. So it can't be flanking. Oh,
interesting.
Let's see. Buyback. Oh my God. Do the Unhinged sets count?
I don't think so.
Clock spinning.
What is that?
Clock spinning. It's also in Time Spiral. One blue, buyback 3, choose a counter on target permanent or suspended card, remove that counter from that permanent. So, long story short, buyback is also in Time Spiral Block. Wow, this is challenging because we know. Oh God, if it's Rampage, I'm gonna like puke in my mouth. That was not.
I really doubt they're gonna bring back a mechanic that people were like, "Wow, this is horrible. It was so bad that we haven't played it in 20 years."
Yeah, whenever this creature becomes blocked, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn for each creature blocking it beyond the first. It could be Rampage. All right, Rampage.
I can't even like put a guess on this one because I really have no idea, but we'll go with Rampage for you.
All right, Rampage. All right. A card with the words battlefield cast, creature, converted mana cost, end of turn, exile, graveyard, and mana cost.
Honestly, this is such a mix of keywords. It makes me feel like it might be that card that says choose one, like one or more.
Right. Well, part of it can be like a creature. Its creature type is the card type is creature. So it says creature on it, right? Yeah, I don't know. Why would it say converted mana? It says converted mana cost and mana cost. So obviously, if it says converted mana cost, it already says mana cost. End of turn, exile, graveyard, battlefield. And when this creature enters the battlefield, if you cast this creature from the graveyard, I don't know.
It could be something like when You cast this creature when this creature when you cast this creature
exile blank
exile a certain thing if its converted mana cost is greater than the mana cost you cast to it might be like an X spell or it might be like an X creature and so right. When you when cast you- it but that's only true like when it's on the stack maybe it's right, a so flash it's be- creature
huh.
Maybe it's a flash creature because you know how, like the, because you know how X does change the CMC of a card on the stack.
Yeah.
So maybe like you flash the creature, and if you you pay X more, you counter their spell. But I don't know what the graveyard piece does. I'm really just like pulling.
It's tough. I don't know. That's not exactly.
I think my best guess is that it's some sort of creature that you can cast that counters something if its mana cost is greater than something. That's my guess, but
there's got to be some element of like exile from the graveyard, or you can exile. Maybe it has
maybe it has delve.
Oh, okay. Ooh, delve! No, delve. Delve is
delve is not it because that was too recent. But maybe delve is in the new set, and maybe like you can delve away to counter a huge thing. Maybe what if it's like the giant whelk? You know the blue draining whelk. Yeah, what if it's like a draining whelk?
I could see that.
And maybe you can cast a creature from the graveyard. I don't know. I've just added everything onto this creature.
I just think it's a creature. I'm with you. I do think it's a creature with a whole lot of... I think it's a creature that has an enter the battlefield effect that has somehow exiles things, or you exile things to cast it, or you can exile blank cards from your graveyard to cast it instead or something. I don't know. This was a good one. That's a good clue because it seems to give you a lot of information, but he likes to do this where he gives you too much information. It's like cluttered intentionally to confuse you. So an aura inspired from a cycle from Urza's saga block. Now, are auras creature enchantments? Is that what we call creature enchantments now? Is that how that works?
No, aura is just something you put on a creature. It has to be an enchantment that goes on a creature.
Yeah, so it's a creature enchantment.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant like creature enchantment as a creature that is also an enchantment. Like I thought you were talking about like Corsair Crucifix.
No, like it enchants target creature.
It enchants target creature, correct.
So is this a reprint?
I think so.
And an aura it's inspired from a cycle from Urza's saga block. Okay.
So it's inspired. So it might not be a reprint, but it's like supposed to be like similar or the same. It could, I guess it could be a reprint. I saw some good theories for this one. There was one that I was like hoping that it was.
Were the embraces in Urza's saga block? I think they might have been. Sarah's embrace, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
There was Zephyd's embrace. It was like two of a color, vampiric embrace. It was like I think it was like, I don't remember the effects. It's been a while. But like Zephyd's embrace was like two blue, two other. Target creature gets +2/+2 flying and cannot be the target of spells or abilities.
Yeah, or something. No, like that. I am not familiar with those. The best guess that I like the most that I'm hoping it is that it's Rancor because I love that card. I think the card's super fun.
Was that a cycle?
It was.
What else was in the Rancor cycle?
I can look it up. I don't know offhand. It was
Rancor is in Legacy. Rancor is not in Saga.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's the hammer.
Let me see.
Rancor's in Urza's Legacy. It's not in Urza's Saga.
So the cycle is... Rancor's the green one. God, these are really small to see. Revival... Hold on, let me find a better...
Wow, we don't need to get into this because I'm pretty sure it's Urza's Legacy, right? It's not Urza's Saga.
Here's the cycle real quick. Rancor's the green one. Sluggishness is red. Sleeper's Guile is black. Slow Motion is blue. And
I can't
really see. I think that's a cessation?
Cessation, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. And it's a card originally printed in Urza's Legacy. Many players might not realize that it came from a cycle and it's this cycle. Even fewer might remember that Urza's Legacy cycle was actually following in the footsteps of a cycle from Urza's Saga, this cycle, which is a different cycle of Launch, Despondency, Fiery Mantle, Spreading Algae, and Brilliant Halo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I like the embraces. I'm going to stick with those.
I'm gonna go with Rancor. I really, I love.
Rancor's not. It's not in Saga.
But I want to believe that it is. But it says it's inspired by.
Yeah, but those other you named 10 cards, and one of them was playable, and it was Rancor. No. Spreading Algae was playable as a sideboard card, I guess. Rancor's Spreading Algae didn't target. Spreading Algae wasn't a creature enchantment, right? It was a didn't it target swamp or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The other theory I thought was kind of interesting is a cycle of growing enchantments, and it's Archery Training, Festering Wound, Incendiary Momentum,
oh
Primate
my
Research.
God, I remember those.
And it could be that too.
The scents were not enchantments. Those were instants, weren't they? Those were interesting spells where you get a bonus. You reveal X cards from your hand and you get a bonus for, you reveal target creature gets +X/+X. X equals the number of green cards in your hand. I think that was Scent of Ivy, but that is not actually, you know what? That's not Saga either. That's Urza's Destiny. So never mind. And those aren't enchantments, but it's definitely not Rancor because Rancor is Urza's Legacy.
I want to believe. I guess we'll see.
I'm not even sure Embraces are in, but I'm gonna go with Embraces. I'm pretty sure the Embraces are Urza's. You know what's funny is the way I remember them is in my brain. I'm like, what was the logo? Like, was it the Gears, which is Urza's Saga, or was it the Hammer, which is Urza's Legacy, or was it? I call it the Erlenmeyer Flask after an episode of The X Files, and that's Urza's Destiny.
Oh, that's funny. But,
okay, I'm gonna say Embraces. So, okay, next up. Ba-ba-bum.
A popular character first introduced in flavor text. I honestly have no idea for this one. That's
J.M. Ballard.
Was she introduced via flavor text?
Oh, yeah. J.M. Ballard has been in flavor text since Ice Age, I think. And I know there's an older J.M. Ballard that we've seen, but I think it J.M. Ballard. Yeah, let's go with J.M. Ballard.
Isn't she dead?
But we don't know when this, first of all, Teferi's a time mage. Second of all, I wonder if this M21 thing, the reason I picked like Baron or Rain or Urza, because Baron and Urza,
Oh, I guess you're right. I guess we don't actually know when this is happening. So yeah, we could be seeing like a
flashback. I think it's going to be like flashback, right? Because Baron, Rain, and Hannah, Ship's Navigator, who all I think have Vanguard cards, could be second printings here. They all died in the original Phyrexian invasion of Dominaria.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go with J.M. Ballard because she's awesome and I would love a young J.M. Ballard. I think that'd be super sweet. Okay. Core. Oh, a non-evergreen enchantment subtype returns?
Enchantment subtype.
Subtype. Huh? Oh, this could be because enchant land.
I saw a theory for this one.
Huh?
Some people were saying that this could be that the shrines are coming back.
Oh, the Hondens.
Because no. also they are in historic.
There's no way Wizards would reprint them in M21 and put them in that historic anthology. I just don't think they'd do that.
But it could be they can do that. That's what I'm saying. It's they wouldn't reprint them. They could make new shrines.
Oh, they're not Hondens. They're not the Hond. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in for it. I like it. I'm in for it.
They are shrines, right? Yeah. Exactly. So then you would have the ones in historic, and then you could have that also.
And they fuel the Hondens. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I saw a bunch of suggestions, but that's the one that I thought that I looked at it and I was like, ah, that would have been very clever to put that in historic anthology and then do that here too.
I'm into it. A French vanilla mythic rare. What are we to take of the French part of this?
So usually this is a like game design term. A vanilla creature is just a
no text, right?
No text,
like
basically.
Like a 1/1. That's it.
Yeah, French vanilla is basically like one step above with having like a very basic ability. So that's why it's French vanilla. It's like it's just a little bit more complex, but not really like anything special. So that means that the stats on this might be like pretty interesting because it seems like its ability, given that it's a mythic rare, is not going to be an exciting one.
So if it was like a 1-mana 4/4 with regenerate, that would be a French vanilla rare.
I think that technically counts. I'm not a game designer, obviously. Like take that with a grain of salt.
Sure, of course.
But I talked to Luis this morning and I was like, dude, is French vanilla this? And I explained it. He's like, yeah, that's basically French vanilla. It basically means that it's. It's basically a vanilla card.
I got nothing. A French vanilla.
It just has to be a creature that's enormous or.
No, it could just be. Wait. Yeah, because Can you have vanilla spells? You can't, right? It has to be a creature.
No, it has to be a creature. French vanilla specifically refers to a creature. It's going to be a creature that has a very like normal ability, which means for it to be a mythic rare, it has to be like some other part of it's going to have to be really interesting. Like it's going to have to be really big, or it's going to have to be very cheap or something like that.
It's going to be like a 2-mana 5/5 with regenerate. Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have no idea. French vanilla mythic rare. Okay. A popular aura that started as part of a cycle. Now here is where you might be able to say Rancor.
Yes. This one makes more sense.
Yes. Let's go with Rancor here.
Yeah, we can go with Rancor here.
Also because a lot of people didn't know, I didn't know that it was part of a cycle. So yeah. This is the trap is, oh, did you even realize Rancor is part of the cycle? And man, Rancor is a great card.
It's because Rancor has just been reprinted in like a lot of core sets where the other ones of the cycle haven't. So people, mm-hmm. a lot of people know Rancor, but not the rest of the cycle.
Yep, I'm good with it. A popular aura that, okay. A card with a unique protection.
So I this one.
I have an idea.
What do you think it is?
Protection from lands.
Protection from lands?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
If they bring person lands back.
Oh.
You know, well,
is there anything that makes us think that they would bring creature lands back? Like,
no.
Why?
No, I don't know. But I mean, the reason I think this is because I was thinking about Urza's block, and there was a rune of protection was like the cycling cops, and there was a rune of protection lands because of the person lands.
Sure.
So there's also things like Shivan Gorge that became, important for that kind of stuff. I wonder if protection from lands would protect you from Valakut. Because is it Valakut that actually deals the damage to you?
I believe Valakut deals the damage, yeah. So technically it could stop Valakut, I guess.
Yeah.
I have a theory on this one.
Okay, go.
Okay. There's a card.
Okay.
From Commander 2017 that's called, are you ready for this? Teferi's Protection. I'm dead serious. I'm totally serious. It's 3 mana, 2 colorless and a white. It's an instant.
Okay.
Until your next turn, your life total can't change and you gain protection from everything. All permanents you control phase out. While they're phased out, they're treated as though they don't exist. They phase in before you untap during your untap step.
Protection from everything.
Protection from everything. So it's kind of like Progenitus in that way, but this also just has a bunch of other different types of protection baked into it. Like your life total can't change, all your things phase out, You also have protection from everything. So you can't die when you have Teferi's protection. So maybe something like Teferi's protection.
You've convinced me. Yeah. That's good.
I think it's like a reasonable one, yeah.
No. And the tie-in to Teferi already, I love it. Okay, 2 cards played in tournaments that have been reprinted over 20 times with at least 5 different pieces of art. Sword Splashers is coming back.
Oh man, they're just not bringing Bolt or Swords back. I just don't see that.
You don't see like, Bolt? Bolt could definitely come back, wouldn't it?
I don't think Bolt's coming back. They've been printing Lightning Strike since I started playing Magic. You think Bolt's coming back?
You know what has a lot of printings with a lot of different art?
What?
Counterspell.
There's no way they're bringing Counterspell back.
You know what else has a lot of printings with a lot of different art? Dark Ritual.
There's no way they're bringing these back. There's just no way.
You know what cards were both in Urza's block?
What?
Ritual and Counterspell.
They're not bringing those back.
I don't know.
There's no chance, dude.
I'm trying to think about what else has been, I mean, played in tournaments. I have to, like, saying they I mean, tournament playable.
I mean, dude, tournament playable, like, lists so many cards. It's not really,
five different pieces of art, not just reprinted, 5 different pieces of art. That narrows it a bit, not a ton. Like Swords to Plowshares, there's definitely been some I'm not even sure there's 5 different art pieces of art for STP now that I think about it. Lightning Bolt for sure. I mean, there's a freaking secret layer.
There's a bajillion. Yeah, there's a whole secret layer of Lightning Bolts. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's 5 different Dark Rituals, and I'm pretty sure there's 5 different counter spells, though.
I could see maybe Dark Ritual. I just don't really see them bringing Lightning Bolt back. It's just too weird. All the burn spells have been so mellowed out. I just have a really hard time imagining them bringing Bolt back. But I certainly could happen. I mean, I just don't think it is.
So Counterspell then. You're saying Counterspell and Dark Ritual.
No, I think Bolt is more likely to come back than Counterspell. I really don't have a very good guess for this one. I guess maybe Bolt. Maybe does Lightning Strike have five different... Lightning Strike might actually have five. There's been a bunch of Lightning Strikes before.
You know what there might be? I don't know how many different art, different pieces of art there are, but Incinerate also has a bunch of different art.
Incinerate does too, which is like almost the same thing. I think it might be a burn spell that's like that, but it's not going to be. Mm-hmm. It's not
Shock. I mean, Shock does, but that's super. If it's Shock, like, get out of here.
It's going to be so lame. I think Shock might be the right answer. I think I'm going to go with Shock.
Shock's currently in the format. That is.
I'm going to go with Shock. I think it's right.
I'm going to go big. I'm saying Dark Ritual and Counterspell are coming back. Yeah, right.
A conservative. I think it's Shock.
Covering the marrow clues is always fun. It takes a lot out of you though, because you start scratching the back of your brain, going,
"Yeah, that's why they're cool. You do get to do some speculating and just like investigating."
Well, I hope all of you enjoyed it. Thank you for sticking with us for the ride. And I want to remind you, for any of your purchases on channelfireball.com, don't forget to use that code Gabby. You can follow us on Twitter at @MagicFMPodcast. You can find our videos on YouTube, youtube.com/channelfireball. Of course, the video and the podcast are available on channelfireball.com. I am Mashi Scanlon. You can find me at Mashi Scanlon across all social media platforms. She is Gabby Sparks. You can find her at Gabby Sparks across all social media platforms. And we are out of time. Heck, we're in overtime here. So thank you so much for joining us this week. And we will talk to you all next week. Have a great time. Be wonderful to yourselves. Be wonderful to each other. And stay safe out there, everyone.
Bye-bye.